All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. First game week edition of the show, of the season, as we are set, as of now at least, for Saturday night, 7:30, Raymond James Stadium. Actual football, lines painted on the field, uniforms, referees, opposing teams, a scoreboard, the whole works. Even though it doesn't count in the standings, it is real football. And after a long offseason, it's always an exciting time. How long that excitement lasts depends on your level of interest in preseason football. But compared to what we've had coming in, which is nothing, this is something. Three preseason games, and this is the first of three. So we're going to set the table for you for Saturday night, of course, on today's show. I got a few things I want to get to on top of that. After we had a week off last week, school's back in session now. There will be no more skipping weeks of the shows, I assure you. It's just hard, man, when I just never got time to record a show. I will have those windows now, and it's game weeks, and we're in mode now, so don't worry. And we've got Saturday night in front of us here today. So just to update us on what we know right now, and I'm recording this, it's a little after 1 on Thursday. And the Bucks were out there on the practice field today. They were in shorts and helmets. They did not, or they do not, have a practice scheduled for tomorrow. So this was the final practice today before Saturday's game. And Bruce Arians did say, and this is as of 10:30 on Thursday morning, Arians said that it's possible the game could be moved up depending on what's going on with Tropical Storm Fred. Now, Tropical Storm Fred is almost a non-issue as far as, you know, real life stuff. It's not like a big storm. It may not even be a storm at all. It may have completely broken up by the time you listen to this show and be nothing. But in the event that it does reorganize, and I'm not a weatherman, but I love our local weather guys. I love Paul Delgado, Dennis Phillips, Steve Jerby just retired. Love Brian McClure over at Bay News 9. Bobby Deskins over at Channel, WFTS or whatever it is. All of them do a great job. I follow them all on Twitter. Always getting the latest information. So, you know, the storm kind of broke up as it went over the mountainous parts of Hispaniola. It may reorganize over some warm water or it may not. Point being, there's a possibility they could play the game moved up on Saturday, like earlier in the day, if there are rainy, really, really rainy and windy conditions expected Saturday night. And that is the timeline, assuming this is even a thing by Saturday. So if that were to happen, you know, you can keep it on Joe Bucks Fan. Follow them on Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan. You'll hear about it a million other places, too, if this happens. And we'll just see. I doubt anything comes of it. Now, the possibility of a wet field is definitely a realistic one. And again, may not be wet at all, but that is something that could happen. The Raymond James Stadium field drains really, really well. And I've been on that field before games after full days of just torrential rain, especially preseason games. I've been down there. And even if it's been pouring for like 3 hours, if it stops raining for like 5 minutes, you walk on the field, you're like, ah, I mean, it feels like it hasn't even rained. It's amazing. So it should be okay. But Bruce Arians did say, as far as guys like Tom Brady, other starters, you know, guy, we saw Mike Evans last year, the end of the last regular season game when it was the Outback Bowl like 2 days before, and it had been rainy, I think, and that's when he tweaked the knee on the turf just, you know, flying up when he planted. So it's not something they're going to want to mess with. If it really is truly a wet field, it's possible they changed their plan on how much they were going to play Tom Brady, if at all. He's supposed to play as of now, and some of the other guys too. So that could be, and it's on Joe Bucks Fan right now. If you go to joebucksfan.com, there's an article about it that the Joe's put up. But, you know, just something to keep an eye on. I'm just setting the scene for you on Saturday because these are variables that could be affected. But, it's not a big deal either way. It will be interesting as we set off on this three-game preseason for the first time ever. You know, last year there was no preseason, but, you know, to see how they handle the three games, because the old formula used to be, you know, first game with starters for a few series maybe, then they'd get them out. Second game was a little more. Third game was the big dress rehearsal. Starters would play almost a half. Then fourth game was a complete, you know, let's go down the depth chart and see what we got here. And now how will that formula change with having only three preseason games? And, you know, how will they, what will the structure become? First, second, third, what will the personality of each of those preseason games be? I guess the third one becomes like the fourth one. You know, do one and two kind of stay like the old one and two? We'll see. how all that goes. I will say, and this was going on last week with the Hall of Fame game, because there were already people bemoaning even having any preseason games. And you hear it every year when the preseason comes out. Oh my God, preseason football. People talk about, this is dumb. Why are they doing this? People are getting too excited for this. And every year I say the same thing. I don't understand. Like, if preseason football wasn't happening right now, there'd just be no football. So, I mean, everybody wants games that count. I mean, of course, we all like, I mean, I love games that count. That doesn't mean I want the NFL to go to 18 games, because I don't. But yeah, I get it. I mean, we like the real games. But it's not the alternative. The alternative to having these preseason games right now is just no football, which we've had for months and months and months. And I, for one, was damn excited last Thursday for the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. He even had my son, you know, he was supposed to be going to bed. I held him up, said, stay down here. It's the beginning of football season. Come down here in the living room for kickoff. We have to watch the opening kickoff of the whole season, because it's going to end, you know, what is it, 6 months from now in Los Angeles, hopefully with the Bucs playing in the final game of the season. And we're going to look back and remember, oh, remember when the kickoff happened. And I made him stay down there. I made him stand up, too. I was like, we don't sit down for the opening kickoff, even if it's preseason. This is the first football play of the whole year. We're standing up. And he rolled his eyes. You know, he's 9, thinks he's too cool for school. But he'll understand someday. All right? Just like all of us do, that this is a glorious time of year, and we are privileged every time August rolls around. And I love all the sports. I love baseball, which is getting really good right now with the Rays in first place and in the middle of a pennant race trying to win the AL East and win a World Series. And I love hockey. Just had the Lightning win 2 Stanley Cups. You know, I love golf. I love the Olympics was great. Can't get enough of the Olympics. Was sad to see those go. Love it all. But those, there's sports and then there's states of mind. And honestly, for me at least, and everybody's different, for me, football is the only sport that transcends just being a sport and is a state of mind. Like, I don't, even though I love baseball, I don't think, oh man, it's baseball season now. Like, it doesn't feel that much different. They play a million games. It's just not a state of mind. It's just a, you know, it's I love baseball. Hockey season, same thing. They play forever. But when football season comes, like, life feels different. And I always say this, like, maybe I need to get a life. Maybe I need to have more going on in my life where this stuff isn't as exciting as it is. But I'm, and you can ask my wife, objectively, like, markedly, like, you can tell I am in a better mood, I am happier, I'm just more excited, I'm more upbeat when August rolls around and when football season rolls around. And that goes back to, you know, when I was a kid, growing up, my whole life, my father and my uncle were high school football coaches, and I was always the ball boy on Friday nights on the sidelines. Then to when I started playing football myself through high school, then I coached a little bit myself in high school with my uncle. Whatever it was, or just being a fan, not even being involved on any football team, whatever it is, like, it just hits different, as the kids say. And, you know, it's just a different vibe, different mental feeling. And I'm in a great mood today, like, just knowing the Bucs have a game Saturday, even though I know it's a preseason game, and I'll probably get tired of it pretty quick. I mean, even Thursday, I was like all pumped up. I was tweeting. I was finding people on Twitter, and you can follow me, at Bobby Game Day. But I was finding people on Twitter who were making fun of the preseason game, specifically so I could call them out and say, what are you complaining about? This is football, dude. You got a problem with this? Like, you could have no football if that makes you feel better, but this is still football. And so I was doing that, and then admittedly, like, an hour later, I turned the game off myself because it was a really bad game, too. Even as preseason standards go, the Cowboys-Steelers game, I mean, what was it, 16-3, you know, didn't have the edge. And the Hall of Fame stuff was great, you know, all weekend, especially John Lynch and all that stuff. It, you know, that was awesome. But, yeah, okay, yeah, even I turned it off. I didn't watch the whole four quarters, but it was there. I had an option. Tonight, again, Thursday night, the Bucs play Saturday, but there are games starting tonight, and there'll be games every night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think they got Sunday, too. So it's just, it's football, man. Like, what? That's better than not football. And we've got it, and it's going to be fun. We'll see what we get to see on Saturday night with the Bucs returning all 22 starters from their Super Bowl championship team. Of course, you've heard by now the first time in the modern era, and certainly in the free agency era, that that's happened. You know, how much work do those guys need as units, and all that stuff remains to be seen. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. on Twitter. You can get me at Bobby Game Day. The free stretch, like it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. And like they always have, the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty is the best thing going, besides the massive selection they have, is that whatever you buy at Bill Curry Ford is covered for engine trouble like years down the road. As long as you buy the car and you still own it from Bill Curry Ford, years later you can bring it back into the service center, engine trouble taken care of, which is doubtful. But I mean, if you need to have it, they will do it. And that's the thing. Like, you have that peace of mind no matter where you are. You also get the 10 years roadside assistance. You get the first year free oil changes and all that stuff. You can do it at home if you want to. Website, BillCurryFord.com. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check everything out there with the transparent online pricing, and they will bring it to your house. You want to test drive something? Not even buy it, just test drive it. They'll deliver it to your house if you want to. If you buy the car, again, you don't have to even go. They'll bring it to your home office or whatever. Of course, I always recommend going and seeing the massive showroom, the massive lot they have a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. But either way, check them out, BillCurryFord.com. The Bucks did release a depth chart. I'm not going to get too into it really, because it's actually not that big of a deal, and the depth chart doesn't matter much at this point before anything's been played. For example, all right, at quarterback, Tom Brady, Blaine Gabbert. Who's number three? Been hearing about Kyle Trask, what a great job he's doing. Everybody's raving about him in camp. Ryan Griffin is listed as number three. Kyle Trask is listed as number four. And that's just a seniority thing, which is fine. But you and I know damn well what happens when it's time to pick three quarterbacks. Who's number three? Brady, Gabbert. Yeah, they're not leaving the second round pick off. Trask is number three, not Griffin. But officially on the depth chart, it does list Griffin as number three, Trask number four. Ronald Jones listed as the starter at running back. No real other surprises besides that. I know Tanner Hudson is fifth behind Cody McIlroy. He's catching some flack for his blocking. Arians even like called him out in one of his post-practice press conferences. And when they were asking, what does he need to do? And Arians said he needs to block somebody, because he's made a lot of plays over the years, especially in preseason. And, you know, we know he can catch the ball. We know he runs good routes. He's an actual target. But the other half of the tight end game, the blocking part, is apparently something he's struggling with. So that was a minor surprise. And other than that, no real surprises whatsoever on the depth chart. And we'll get a better view of that as we see more preseason snaps taken. And even that, though, won't tell us everything. And then the only depth chart you really need to know is the one after the cutdowns. And the Bucks, given how many people they have returning this year, I don't think cutdowns are going to be quite as surprising as, you know, sometimes they can be. Some bottom of the roster stuff may go one way or the other, but I don't think there'll be too much there. And Joe Tryon, the first round pick, he's been doing really well again in practice. You can't say anything just about practice alone, but it is better than nothing. And supposedly he's been doing really well, and they've had a hard time blocking him. So we will take it. What else is going on around the NFL as we get set for week one of the preseason? Well, there was a little bit of news the other day, and I wasn't happy about it. And I definitely wanted to bring it up on the show while I had a chance here. But you know how the NFL is every year with rules. There's always a few rules changes, and we'll get into those a little bit closer to the regular season, or as we see them and examples of them in the preseason games. So that's one thing, rule changes. But then there are also points of emphasis, which aren't rule changes. They're the same rules as always, but they want referees to pay a little more attention on them. So if you made a list and literally just listed every single NFL rule in the rule book, and I'm not even sure how many there are, but if you made a list of all the rules in the NFL rule book and asked me to pick what the absolute last one is that needs a point of emphasis, I would say the taunting rule. So as you can probably guess, that is one of the rules the NFL has chosen to make a point of emphasis this year, because I think we can all agree what a huge problem it is, and I think we can all agree that we love it when hard-fought football games where guys are scratching and clawing and literally sacrificing their bodies for every freaking inch, much less yard, that there is on the field, and these guys are trying to kill each other for it. I love when those games get completely turned on their ear by totally random, subjective, and most importantly, non-football related penalties. I was just thinking how we need more of that. Like, I want to see a huge defensive stop happen. And like one of the most clutch parts of the game, like a huge moment. And then I want to see that completely overturned because a guy like winked at somebody or something or whatever the hell it is they're going to throw flags for. Like that's what, if you think about it, weren't we all clamoring for this rule change? Because I'll tell you what, this is how, just to get the actual verbiage, because again, it's not an actual rule. What they're saying is they're going to more strictly enforce the taunting rule. I will play you, it's 41 seconds of audio. You can't see the video here, but they're showing random examples of what they're talking about. Every one of them, by the way, is completely minor and stuff that if you didn't point it out to me, I wouldn't even notice. And these are all going to be 15-yard penalties, but I know you can't see it. So I'll play you the audio of the actual video the league released explaining what they're doing with this point of emphasis here. And again, it's only a few seconds.
The NFL Players Association, coaches, and competition committee have all made a strong statement regarding respect among everyone on the field. We saw an increase in actions that clearly are not within the spirit and intent of this rule.
I didn't see an increase.
And not representative of the respect to opponents and others on the field. Game officials have been instructed to strictly enforce the taunting rules, and players and coaches are reminded that two taunting penalties committed by an individual player will result in automatic disqualification. In addition, the taunting player may be fined and or suspended, depending on the severity of the actions.
So there you go. And again, you couldn't see the video that went with that, but like they showed a clip of a receiver who like catches a pass for a first down, then the guy tackles him, then the receiver gets up and like flexes both biceps. That's literally all he does. And then, I mean, because listen, I am totally agree. Like, you should not be like always looking to talk junk to your opponent. And it's very off-putting when it's really, really, like, blatant taunting. But I know what's going to happen with this, and we're going to see a ton of examples of stuff that you're watching a game, or maybe you're on Twitter during a typical NFL Sunday because you can't watch all the games, and you see, oh my God, you got to see this call on the Colts-Texans game. This was called a 15-yard penalty. And then you watch the clip and you're like, oh my God, that's terrible. And the, oh, this nullified a game-winning defensive stop that would have given them the ball. Instead, the offense got a second chance and scored the go-ahead touchdown. You know that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be things that are just nothing. Because the main thing I want, and this is why I hate points of emphasis, because it ties, well, I shouldn't say it ties anybody's hands behind their back, but what it does, and referees by nature are rules people. And I am personally, I am a spirit of the rule guy. I'm not a letter of the rule guy. And people who are letter of the rule people have always annoyed the ever-living hell out of me. I cannot stand letter of the rule people. They're the most annoying. They're the people that, like, when you get to an intersection in a neighborhood or where there's, like, no cars within 500 miles, they come to a complete stop at the stop sign, then, like, wait for, like, 5 seconds, and then they go. Because after all, well, the rule does say you're supposed to come to a complete stop. Well, obviously, I mean, I can see both ways down the road. There's not a car for 5 miles. I'm going to slow down to a near stop, but I'm probably going to keep on gliding because I have, common sense. It always comes back to common sense. But letter of the rule people can't understand that. The rule says this. I don't understand. How could you be breaking the rule? Like, that's how these people are. And they annoy the hell. I cannot stand letter of the rule people. But anyway, you are naturally, if you're a referee, or if you're a lawyer, and I'm not ripping these people, I'm just two different types of people. You know, if you go into a profession like that, you're pretty much a rules person to begin with. So now they're all going to hide behind this point of emphasis and act like, well, I had to throw that flag. It says right there. I mean, when in reality, if they hadn't thrown the flag, nobody would have said anything. Even their boss probably wouldn't have said anything. But they're going to turn the outcomes of games, or certainly the outcomes of drives. You know, it's very off-putting. And not a single person, I mean, I know the video there says, oh, we've seen an increase and it's a problem. Has a single person asked for this? I mean, definitely not a fan that I know. I don't know any fan. You know what I think it is? I think it's old conservative white guys making too many of the rules. And, you know, this is right in their wheelhouse. And this is the problem when you have these, you know, antiques on the rules committee and have the owners. You know, they don't have enough, to me, representation, both age-wise and culturally, quite honestly, to be representative of the football, both playing and watching population. But they're the ones making all the rules. And so this doesn't surprise me at all, and it's unfortunate. And I'll say this. Actually, you know what? Let's go to some people, because who cares what I have to say. Let's go to some of the legends of the game, because there is a fine line. And like I say, it always comes down to common sense. Here's what I do hate the most. I hate when a guy makes a big hit on somebody, especially if the guy that got hit was like trying to catch a ball or doing something where he just otherwise, you know, has other things to look at besides the guy hitting him. And then, you know, some punk DB or some safety will drill him. And then I hate when they lean over the guy and like act like they're some stud or something. Like anybody can drill someone if their head's turned, they're trying to catch a ball. You know, that I don't like. I agree. But just your routine run-of-the-mill stuff, which is going to get called a lot now. 95% of it probably shouldn't be called. So, like I said, forget what I have to say. Here's Bill Belichick, one of the greats of the game, all time, right? And here is what he had to say. Let me find the clip here. And this is something from, I think, a few years ago. And again, you can't see the video. You can only hear what I'm about to play you. But just to give you a frame of reference, the video is Belichick's watching film with the Patriots. And he's playing clips of really good plays that guys made where nobody else in the Patriots even ran up and high-fived them. And they were just being real businesslike, you know, real robotic. And this is Bill Belichick talking to his team, watching film of that. And here's what he had to say.
There's nothing wrong. In fact, you should be excited when you make a play. Hell, look at all the work you put into it. All the time that you spent and practice of putting into it. And to go out there in a game competitively and execute it well and make a play, you should be excited about it. And your teammates should be excited too. And you see when we're playing with energy, when we're playing with emotion, and when we're not. Nice play, Ty. Can't even see one guy saying, good hit. Walk back to the huddle and say, God, it looks like we don't even care. We aren't good enough to play that way. I don't know that anybody is. So, Gary, you know it's a good play. Just doesn't really register with anybody else. Just look at this right here. Do you think we were ready to play against Denver last year?
Now they're celebrating.
Monday night? It's so obvious. It's so visible. And when you can show that picture visually to your opponent, that's what intimidation is. That's the look right there, fellas.
I mean, I'm just nodding my head vigorously over here. I mean, he's absolutely right. And again, you can tell, it's like one of those things, I can't describe it, but I know it when I see it. You can tell when something is truly taunting, truly out of line, truly unsportsmanlike. And I don't mind when that's called, but it should be pretty rare. Like, as a general rule, right, as fans, nobody wants to see a game turn on a 15-yard penalty. And that's another thing, by the way. And they'll never do this, but here's what I've always said about these penalties. First of all, there should be no 15-yard penalties. Most penalties should be 5 yards. I think holding should be 5 yards instead of 10. But here's the big thing, whatever the penalties are, any non-football penalty, okay, should not change the down and distance. Because there's nothing worse than, like, it's 3rd and 8, team gets a big stop, oh, taunting, 15 yards automatic first down. Hey, if you stop them on 3rd and 8, and again, a football penalty is different, you know, holding PI, because those are things that actually affect the play. But if it's a dead ball foul, something like taunting or whatever, or a late hit or anything like that, okay, walk off the yardage, but it's still 4th and 8. So if it was 3rd and 8 at the 30-yard line and you need to make it to the 38 and you got stopped, you threw an incomplete pass, but, oh, this guy talked some junk and he did something, 15-yard penalty, you don't get to go to the 45 first and 10. We'll move it to the 45, but now it's still 4th and 8, and everything just move the whole thing, move the sticks, move the ball, move everything up, whatever it is, the 15 yards, and keep the down and distance. That's still incredibly penal, okay? That's still something that players are going to want to avoid. That's still something that their coach is going to yell at them about. So it's not like, oh, it's not enough of a disincentive. It's still plenty of a disincentive. And yet, it doesn't just, you know, you get these teams like an automatic first down. Now the whole, they were going to punt. Now they got the ball. It leaves me feeling icky. And it leaves me feeling, I feel like a sap, really. Like, I feel like, you know, a sucker. investing emotion watching these games for, you know, 2-3 hours. And like I said, these guys are clawing each other's eyeballs out just for that 1 inch, like Al Pacino said in any given Sunday. And then, you know what? Yeah, he kind of, I like the way he talked to him. So forget that huge stop you just made to get off the field. 15 yards first down, and 3 plays later, they score. I mean, that is the most off-putting thing in the entire world. Like I said, literally of all the rules in the NFL, that is the last one I would have chosen to emphasize. Of course, that's the one they're going to choose to emphasize. I just wish common sense could take over a little bit. And there is a fine line. I'm going to give equal time to Nick Saban, who I also had something to say. This is a few years ago, but he was asked about stuff like talking junk to the other team. Here's what Nick Saban, who is a good friend of Bill Belichick's and who they share philosophies, and you can agree with both. These aren't necessarily at odds with each other, but here's what Saban had to say when he was asked about this.
You know, players don't talk to the opposing team. I tell our players, you know, if you want to talk shit to the other team, join a goddamn debate team. I mean, excuse my language, but I'm really sorry for, you know, using the Lord's name in vain, but I just really get hot about what I see in sports that we promote in the media and in every other way that really is not a good thing. That's not what we're trying to accomplish in what we do. So,
and yeah, okay, and you know what? I'm nodding at that too. Like, I don't disagree. Like, you can agree with what I played from Belichick a minute ago, and you can agree with that too. They're not at odds with each other. But I'm telling you, what Saban's talking about isn't what these referees are talking about. And you just wait. I might make a running Twitter thread, you know, how benign all these things are going to be. And they'll be 15-yard penalty, 15-yard penalty, 15-yard penalty. You know it's coming. I hope, I really hope I'm wrong. I really hope it doesn't end up being as big of a deal as I'm afraid it's going to be. But I just know a regular season game or two or more is going to turn on this. And I am already dreading that. I hope I'm wrong. But anyway, enough about that. We've got actual football Saturday night, 7:30. Again, keep it on Joe Bucks Fan. Follow him on Twitter, at Joe Bucks Fan. Follow me on Twitter, at Bobby Game Day. If there's any change, you'll know about it. I don't think there will be, but, you know, by the time you listen to this, I guess we'll know more. But it should be fine, maybe a little wet, and it's a chance to see the Buccaneers. And actually, Tom Brady's first ever preseason game as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, since there wasn't any preseason last season. And it's just a chance to watch the Buccaneers take the field for the first time in general since they won the Super Bowl in February on the same field that they will take on Saturday night. So until then, and I'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about the game that happens on Saturday. I want to thank our sponsors, the good people at Bill Curry Ford. I want to thank the Joes for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere, TV, radio, internet, for Buccaneer coverage, JoeBucksFan.com. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. It's here. Hope you got everything done. If not, get it done before Saturday, because weekends are for football now. I will talk to you next week. In the meantime, be safe, have fun, enjoy the game. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. Stay.